Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said there are no idle rumors. They're all very busy. We appreciate the opportunity of being with you today. Once again, it's good to be able to study from the Bible and to learn about the will of God. We appreciate our listeners to Bible Meditations and those who are so faithful in turning in the program so that they may study about the Word of God. All right, let's return now to our study. It has been suggested that we talk to you a little bit about the idea of discerning Bible authority. How can we tell what is authorized and what is not authorized, what we ought to do in religion and what we ought not to do? It's quite evident that there's much confusion about a number of different subjects in religious matters. For instance, if I were to bring up the subject of baptism, some people would say, well, sprinkling, pouring, immersion, that will be fine. Another person will come along and say, well, are you talking about water baptism or Holy Spirit baptism? And so there are different positions along these particular lines. How do we determine Bible authority so that we can settle the questions that come up in regard to that matter? I go to the subject of giving, laying by in store as we're prospered on the first day of the week. And yet there are people today who believe it's all right to take up a collection any time that you come together. There are those who say, well, we need to supplement our collections by going door to door selling jelly beans or whatever that might be. And so we have different views in regard to the matter of giving. Is there a way to determine Bible authority and what it is that pleases God and what does not please Him? We go to the matter of communion, the taking of the bread and the fruit of the vine. Well, there are those who think it must be done on the first day of the week. There are also those who think it must be done quarterly, or that you have the opportunity of doing it once a year, or maybe even the view of some who say, well, if you're going to have surgery, you ought to have communion before you have surgery. Or if you're going to have a wedding, communion ought to be a part of that wedding. And funerals involve the taking of communion. And so the question that comes to our mind is this division acceptable to God? Is it all right for us to have all these different views, though they conflict with each other? Well, the matter of instrumental music in worship to God, again, is a matter that needs to be looked at so that we can settle whether it's right or whether it's wrong, and do so by Bible authority. Some use one instrument. There are others who use all kinds of instruments. And there are those who believe that the instrument God specified is the voice, and so vocal music. Well, is there a way of understanding what is right and what is wrong in these matters? We looked yesterday at Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8, and the passage says, they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and cause them to understand the reading. We need to come to the point that we can understand what God wants us to do in religious matters. And so there must be a standard of right and wrong to which we appeal. There would be utter confusion if there were no standard in religion. If everybody is right, and everybody does anything they want to do in their own view, then we have only a mass confusion. Well, I believe the Bible settles that matter, and there is a standard of right and wrong. First of all, let me suggest to you that God is ultimately authority in everything. God is our maker. God is our creator. And therefore, He's authorized. He's the one who has the authority to tell us what to do or what not to do. It's interesting to note that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 And verse 3, Paul says, the head of every man is God. God is over all. And since he's our creator, Genesis 1 and verse 1, Genesis 1 and verse 26, he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Since God is our creator, then we are subject to God, and we have responsibility toward him. Now, keeping that in mind, what I do in religion is my attempt to please God. The word religion comes from two Latin words, which re means again, and the second part of the word, legio, implies the idea of binding. And so binding again God and man. Well, how will that be done? God has ultimate authority. God is the one who tells us what to do. All right, keep in mind, God has ultimate authority. Now, number two, remember that Christ, the Son of God, was given authority by God. You look at Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 18, and you find Jesus saying, all authority in heaven and on earth hath been given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Now look at the passage carefully, and as you study the passage, you note that Jesus said, authority has been delegated to me. God has given authority to Jesus. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Notice he says, all authority. Now, in a discussion concerning this, the limitation on this is pointed out by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'd like to read a couple of verses to you. Verse 27. For he hath put all things under his feet, and when he hath put all things under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. Well, when you look at that passage, it makes it very clear that God put everything under Christ but himself. God didn't put himself under Christ, but everything else was put under Christ. All right, so we have God with ultimate authority. We have Christ with delegated authority. God gave him authority. All power was given unto his hands, with the only exception being God. Now also, Christ gave instruction to his apostles to do certain things, to preach the gospel. And so they had also a delegated authority. The apostles were sent out with the mission of taking the gospel into all the world. Sometimes the Bible refers to what they taught as being the apostles' doctrine. But notice, it was the Holy Spirit who, by Christ, was guiding the apostles in all things that they did. A study of John chapter 14 and John chapter 16 makes it very clear to us that the Holy Spirit was given from Christ what he was to tell the apostles about. And so it was authority that Christ gave to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed to the apostles, and the apostles were guided by the Holy Spirit in the things that they said, and especially, we'll notice in just a little while, the fact that they were guided in what they wrote. Well, keeping that in mind, the Holy Spirit became the comforter to the apostles and guided them into all truth. Look at John 14, verse 26. Look at John 16, verses 7 through 13. And each of these passages clearly makes it known that the Holy Spirit was to guide the apostles into all truth. This brings into focus a statement Peter made when he was talking about inspiration, and he made this observation: holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God, who has ultimate authority, gave to his Son authority to go into all the world. He also gave the authority through Christ to the Holy Spirit to reveal all truth. Now we'll continue with this line of authority in our study tomorrow. Please be listening. We remind you it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved."